We've been watching pictures and video from Gaza this morning, from Khan Yunis in southern Gaza and Jabalia in the north, where militants from Hamas and Islamic Jihad, carrying guns and wearing balaclavas and surrounded by bunting and flags in Palestinian colours, have been gathering among large crowds of people ahead of and in the last hour to release hostages held since October 2023 to the Red Cross before their return to Israel. A 20-year-old female Israeli soldier, Agam Berger, has been released this morning. Two more are expected today, and five Thai nationals are also set to be freed. Meanwhile, 110 Palestinians held in jails in Israel are also due to be released today. Meanwhile, in Gaza, there's been an increase in the delivery of aid since last week's ceasefire. Fergal Keane, BBC special correspondent, travelled with Jordanian helicopters. He's been telling us how he got into Gaza.
For some time, I've been talking to the Jordanian military about the possibility of joining one of their helicopter aid flights. They did one last year, and I saw that, and then I got in touch with them, and we just stayed talking, and the opportunity came up the other day. And so I joined this sort of what is now a daily airlift of choppers. This was the first day, 16 helicopters a day, each carrying a ton of medical supplies and baby formula. And a quick word on that. The reason they use choppers to deliver that is that if you put medicines and baby formula on a long, unrefrigerated road journey, which is how most aid gets in, there's a real risk of it being spoiled.
What could you see of what's happening there?
As we were coming in, you just the striking thing is that there's this, you know, the lush site of farmland on the Israeli side, and then you just cross this line, and there's desolation. In front of us was an area called Wadi al-Salka, which has been heavily bombed during the conflict, the fighting between Israel and Hamas. And you know, I got off the helicopter and looked, and there just wasn't a soul across the barbed wire fence, just ruined buildings, a couple of digging machines at work, just a sense of desolation standing there on the ground. And then one man did emerge. He came across, he's working for the World Food Programme, and began to take the aid that we had, and the Jordanian soldiers who were on the helicopter with us were helping him. But I'd say the whole operation took max 15 minutes, and that's simply because, you know, they have to work at speed. There were two choppers on our flight. We left, and then soon after another two came, and that went on all day until all 16 had delivered their cargo.
So you were just inside the border, but you were separated from the rest of Gaza by a barbed wire fence. Why aren't outside journalists allowed in, Fergal?
Well, I mean, I suppose we were 2,000 feet in inside the Gaza Strip. And that was far, you know, not far, but far enough to see right in front of you the level of devastation that's been wrought on the place. I suppose, have walked down to the gate and walked through it. There was no guard on it. There were a couple of trucks there. But I know that to do that would be risking my life. I mean, on the same day that we visited, an Israeli civilian contractor was shot dead by the Israeli army. So, you know, it is an incredibly tense atmosphere. Both sides mistrust each other greatly. And it's certainly, you'd want to be out of your mind to take the risk of just walking down in there on your own or even with just a cameraman. Now, since this war began, Israel has refused to allow international media to go into Gaza and operate independently. That is why we are dependent on incredibly brave colleagues who work with us from Gaza. Every day of this war, they've been going out there gathering material. I don't know how they do it in terms of their physical stamina. And not just, you know, filming. They've also had to get food for their families. They've got to try and find fuel for their cars, you know, electricity to charge their mobile phones so they can bear witness. I mean, these are people of extraordinary courage. And, I was in touch with one of the guys I'm closest to a few days ago. And he just said, please let this be the end of it. You know?
The aid that you saw coming in through Jordan, why didn't more of that happen during the war?
Well, if you ask the United Nations and most of the major aid agencies, they will say that it was blocked by Israel, that their attempts to move large amounts of aid. Let's think about the figures here. You know, 2 million people displaced. Most of Gaza has suffered bomb damage to a greater or lesser degree. Huge need of medicine, of food, severe malnutrition in areas, and fuel, of course, to operate things like water wells, like sewage plants, like desalination plants, and to keep hospitals going. And so right throughout the war, the UN and others accused the Israelis of blocking the aid. And don't forget, last year, the Americans gave Israel a deadline to improve the amount of aid coming in, or they suggested they might cut some of the military assistance to Israel. So that is the background to what's been going on. Now, there is, by the UN's own words, in the last week or so, since we've had the ceasefire, a surge of aid going in. Most of that, as I say, is going in by road.
But the largest UN agency operating in Gaza, Israel is going to cut ties with them.
That's right. Has already done so, and has told them they're in effect persona non grata, and has told them to shut down their headquarters in Jerusalem. That's the United Nations Relief and Welfare Agency, UNRWA, which operates in Palestinian refugee camps. And yes, they've been told to go, and they're the leaders of that organisation. As you might expect, they've been bitterly critical of it and are asking, well, if we are not going to be there to provide the kind of daily services, for example, schooling, one of the major things they were involved in, but also clinics, who is going to do it? And there are so many questions about what is the plan for Gaza now. You know, there has been a great deal of destruction, but how is it going to be rebuilt? And what kind of political system is going to operate, not just in Gaza, but in the occupied territories in the West Bank as well?
That's the BBC special correspondent, Fergal Keane. 7 minutes to 9.